Well, I believe that there's really, you know, two factors that we look at whenever we're trying to assess a threat, and that's really intent and capability. And as we look at Islamic State Khorasan and the situation they find themselves in and their capabilities, I really don't see that they have either at this point, and I don't believe they'll be able to develop it, you know, that quickly.
One of the things that I've heard is that, well, they don't need to build training camps. They already exist. They've been there for 5 years, so they could get this operation wound up pretty quickly. Thoughts about that?
Well, I think that we need to look at the organization, though, and their history, as well as their capabilities and tradecraft. You know, working in Afghanistan and conducting attacks in that kind of permissive environment, not only where there's a vacuum of authority, but also where you have ready access to military ordnance, is really a different thing from traveling half a globe away to conduct an attack in really a hostile environment. And when we talk about terrorist tradecraft, especially the tradecraft needed for that kind of an operation, it's really different from the skills you need as a guerrilla fighter. So, you know, if you're running around doing a suicide bombing in Afghanistan, you know, that's really more of you know, a guerrilla warfare skill than going into, you know, the United States homeland and conducting an attack here. You know, the tradecraft that you need to conduct an attack in the U.S. Homeland is really more like it's more like case officer tradecraft, you know, what an intelligence officer has, the ability to travel without being detected, the ability to get travel documents, the ability to avoid scrutiny, the ability to conduct surveillance without being caught, the ability to acquire weapons or build bombs. You know, that is very different from operating in Afghanistan where it's permissive.
So I don't think anybody has said that these would be people who are native to Afghanistan or native to some surrounding countries that might give them that capability. I think what at least I've heard is that there's the possibility that someone who is clean, as you might call it, a clean skin, that might essentially sign up for the organization or sign up with the organization to sympathize with them and be someone who lives here or someone who lives in a visa waiver country, but don't need travel documents to get here, but have the idea and have the intent to do what it is, the work is that ISIS wants to do. And when you look at the kind of communications capabilities there are through apps, mobile phones, et cetera, does that not give you pause at all?
Well, I think we need to understand that these are two different things, right? So the Islamic State Khorasan having the ability to basically broadcast or to be able to project their terrorist capability from Afghanistan to the United States is different from them being in contact with the grassroots jihadists living, say, someplace like Europe or even in the United States itself. And then that person volunteers to conduct an attack on their behalf. That's very different from them developing the capability to attack us. And certainly we have seen, you know, for many years now, jihadist groups have relied upon grassroots jihadists to conduct attacks here. And really that has been the primary jihadist attack against the U.S. homeland has been these grassroots attackers who volunteer and who are kind of inspired by and sometimes encouraged by you know, professional jihadists. But that's still different from, say, you know, the 9/11 attack where Al-Qaeda sent, you know, an all-star team of terrorists to the United States to do an attack. And so those are two different sorts of attacks.
Okay, so then let's look at both of them. The Al-Qaeda kind of attack won't likely happen. And most folks, at least in the government and the intelligence space, says that that simply is not a workable model anymore because it takes too much time and there's too much risk involved. There's a whole industry in the U.S. that's designed to prevent that. But then let's take a look at the other thing. People who, are over there and decide they want to engage in an attack. Well, let's take a look at the fact that the people who control the visa or the travel documents part of the Afghan government is a member of the Haqqani network. We know as well that Afghans that are disillusioned with the Afghan government, the Taliban, so to speak, have gone over to the ISIS-K side. So they already have travel documents. So how do you deal with that?
Well, and those would be, Afghan travel documents. And those are going to be under heavy scrutiny by everybody, here going forward. I think that when we talk about those sorts of assistance, I'm actually much more concerned about Al-Qaeda's capability to launch those sorts of attacks, to be honest, because they have the support of the Taliban regime. And they've also received, support from countries like Iran. They've received shelter and support from the Pakistanis. So I really see that Al-Qaeda is in a better position to kind of go long against the United States should they decide to do so. And that's also where the intent part of the equation comes in. I really don't think that at this point, Al-Qaeda would want to invite the United States to come back and attack Afghanistan like they did, in late 2001. So I don't really think that either Al-Qaeda or the Islamic State Khorasan at this point has the intent to attack the U.S. homeland. They really both have bigger fish to fry at this point.
So what proof do you have that they don't have the intent, though?
Which actor?
Either one.
Well, number one, I think that we see them not really devoting the resources towards it at this point. If you go back a decade or more, certainly Al-Qaeda was very, very active in trying to attack the U.S. homeland, in dispatching people here to try to conduct these attacks. And really, we've seen those efforts, reduced dramatically. And both the Al-Qaeda poll of the Jihadist Network and the Islamic State poll of the Jihadist Network have really relied mostly on these grassroots operatives for their operations against the U.S. homeland.
So what about the visibility that would be necessary into Afghanistan and into these terror groups that would be necessary to know that? And I'm told, at least by the U.S. military, that that's been diminished by the U.S. leaving. U.S. intelligence agencies mm-hmm. have a diminished presence. So where does that visibility come from to know that?
Well, no, I think you're right on the reduced visibility within Afghanistan. But the good news is that Afghanistan is remote, and that getting out of Afghanistan, towards the U.S. homeland requires passing, through a number of other places where there would be that ability to kind of pick up on operatives, and especially operatives coming out of that region. And that's something that really, like we were talking about earlier with the U.S. focused on that in the post 9/11 world, that is going to be much more difficult just because of geography, right? Even when we look at the Islamic State core, say in Syria and Iraq, they are much better posed or much better positioned geographically to launch external attacks than ISK. The same thing, they have much more resources and much more diverse manpower pool than ISK. So I would actually see them as better positioned to conduct attacks, in Europe or the U.S., but even they've struggled. So given their struggles, I just don't see how ISK could actually do a better job at projecting their terrorist capabilities than Islamic State Corps.
So final thing, you write in your piece, it is possible that at some point groups such as ISIS-K develop the interest, intent, and capability to conduct attacks against the U.S. homeland. There will be signs of them expanding and improving their capabilities regionally before they're able to do so. So you think that is the absolute pattern that has to take, route that it has to take before we see some kind of activity in the U.S.?
Yeah, I believe that we will see them becoming better at projecting terrorism. We saw a very clear pattern of that with Al-Qaeda, going back into the 90s. And certainly Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, we saw that developing as, they became more capable. Say in 2009, when we saw them project their terrorist power into Saudi Arabia with the assassination attempt against Prince Mohammed bin Naif. That was then shortly after that we saw them, trying to conduct these go-long attacks against the United States with things like the underwear bomb, the printer bombs, et cetera. So we saw that progression there. And we've also seen in other regions, for example, Al-Shabaab As they became more sophisticated, they kind of branched out from attacks within Somalia to attacks in Kenya, Uganda, et cetera. So that's kind of a pattern that we've seen, and I believe we would see again before ISK was able to conduct the U.S. or conduct an attack against the U.S. homeland.
That's Scott Stewart, Vice President of Torchstone Global. J.J. Green, WTOP News.